As I was getting ready for this message, the picture obviously is a picture of a what? Do you notice how this doesn't even bug me? Funny. It was of a fire boot. So, of course, everyone thought Miss Tarina should dress like a firefighter because I can't do my message to you without being in a costume, some sort of a theme. So it felt a little bit of a mixture of like Mr. Rogers, who has to come up and get dressed, and the Three Little Bears. So Three Little Bears, Goldilocks and the Three Little Bears. So I would prefer wearing this costume that used to be all of my boys's and now it's Jonah's, so I had to borrow it back from Jonah. Thank you. So my head's still the size of a kid, but this won't fit, right, because it's too small. Then there's Mr. Dwayne. Did you guys know that Dwayne was a firefighter for the guards? I'm not even going to put this one on because I'll probably fall over. Where's Mr. Dwayne? But thank you for the uniform. This is what he had to wear when he was a firefighter. And then Miss Emily, I think she'll be at the next service, right? Is Emily in here? Miss Emily is a firefighter for the Harrisburg. So, and she's a woman about my size. So I thought, well, I could do this, right? Do you think I can do this? The answer is no. I'm purely doing it to humor for 1 second. Because look, it's already weighing me down. I can hardly do it. I might hit you in the process, so hide your eyes. I am not kidding you. So then when I got to this point this morning, you know what I thought of? Oh, I thought of Cinderella. No, she was more of a maid. I thought of a princess who has people help them get dressed. Because I couldn't even find my hand. Do you think I could teach in this morning? No, and I want to know the firefighters out there. Who helps you get dressed for the fire? Do you have assistance? I think I would need an assistant. So you're just going to have to put up with me in a hat. Deal? I need, say yes, Miss Tarina. Yeah. Hey, at least I'm teaching in a hat because I need all of my limbs to talk to you today. I just have to. So here's all my attempts at the fire. So you are in my fire pit today. So we could have had a nice camping fire pit, but I really wanted you to see what life was like for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So in this standing series in the book of Daniel that we've done, we get to kind of end it with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And I do think it's funny that when you look at stories like Daniel in the Lion's Den and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and some others, that they are children's stories. We've all heard them as kids. Raise your hand if you heard it as a kid. Now, I really want to know, grown-ups, look at our grown-ups, did you ever fear that you were going to be thrown into a fire and an angel was going to help you in some way? No, I didn't either. Did anyone? Anyone have a nightmare after that? Because that's not my goal today. I don't want to send these kids home with a nightmare. I'm going to send you home with a little tidbit of a miracle in what God is asking of us through this story. So I want to kind of tell it like in a story time. Are you ready? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are found in the book of Daniel. Okay. Are you good? In the book of Daniel. Yes. Chapter 3 is Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And I wanted to know, first of all, how did Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego even have any rules? How did they love God already? Does anyone know? Like, if we know that they're later in the Bible, because I really want to show you this. Daniel's way back here, but still in the Old Testament. In the beginning, the first 5 books of the Bible is called the Torah. Now, our adults might not know this, but we're already fabulous with the books of the Bible, aren't we? Let's sing the first 5 books. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, bop, bop, bop. Okay, did you hear the first 5 books of the Bible? Those first 5 books already existed in which Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, as Jewish boys, were being raised to love God. Okay, what do we know about the book of Genesis? What happens in Genesis?
God made the heaven and the earth.
Yes, the world became... Remember, we sing Genesis 1:1 upstairs, right? Genesis 1:1, the world's just begun. You need to sing with me. Do you remember that song? So we know that in the book of Genesis. What happens in Exodus? Who is our leading man in Exodus?
Moses.
And what do we know what Moses did? I didn't even prompt Charlie. Thank you. We are interactive this morning. What did Moses do? Bo. Yes. And where did he go? On top of a high mountain. On top of a high mountain. And he brought down the Ten Commandments. So this is where I want to pause, because our grown-ups out here might not know what wonderful Bible knowledge you have. So if you're in the kindergarten and first grade class, these kiddos could already turn around and tell you John 3:16 and John 3:17. Second and third graders, raise your hand. If you were a second and third grader too. They did not leave this class. You were, so you know the answer. They did not leave this class without knowing the what? The Ten Commandments. And who brought down the Ten Commandments from the mountain? Moses. So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and our fourth and fifth graders, they can tell you the Lord's Prayer in Psalms 23. Let's give them a round of applause, because they have quite the Bible knowledge down here. Very impressed with them. That was their summer goal, to come and hang out with me. So I can tell you that all these kiddos have learned these. And if they put it in their minds, they put it in their hearts, and it will flow from their mouths. And that's my goal with Kid Church upstairs, that we would know these scriptures in our hearts, and we would live and breathe them. Do you think the Ten Commandments was written to have just a very good idea? A suggestive 10 ways we maybe should live? No, what are they? They are a commandment you need to follow. What commandment could cause Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to say, without even having to go back to the Torah and study the Bible, to go, whoa, King Nebuchadnezzar, you're not doing this the right way? When you look into, okay, you keep thinking about it, and be ready for me. When you look in Daniel 3, King Nebuchadnezzar was already a king. Do you think he had everything he needed? Yeah, he was the boss. He was kind of a big dude. And he wanted more, so he built a statue. This is the closest statue I could find. The Hillcrest Cup. I have to tell you, it is one of the only trophies I've ever won. Really? That one and a music trophy. Yes. I did. We won it. But what did you say that day? I wasn't against the wind. He was against the wind. So I really kind of carried us on that one. No? Okay, Brian and I won this. So this is my golden statue. That's the closest I could find. So Nebuchadnezzar, beanbags. Beanbags, Hillcrest Beanbag Tournament. Am I getting it wrong? I'm getting it wrong, aren't I? Oh, that's why. I take it back. This is from a men's event. I had nothing to do with it. Just tell it. No, I did not participate in any of the men's event. I read lips to say, honey, you're wrong. I thought this was the beanbag trophy I won. No, I have nothing to do with this trophy. This is, I borrowed Pastor Brian's. You can keep holding my hat. Do you want to wear it? You can. We're going to pretend that this is King Nebuchadnezzar's golden statue. Golden statue. What does our brain automatically tell us with the Ten Commandments when I say the word golden statue? What do we know? Yes. He is making his people, just 1 second, love, okay? You can wear my hat. He is making, nope, I just borrowed it, so you can just wear it for now. I have to give it back to my friend Kim, okay? But you can wear it for now. He has made a golden statue, and the Ten Commandments say that we are to not to bow down to any statues, right? No idols. This was an idol for King Nebuchadnezzar. If Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego knew their scriptures and loved God, did something in them prompt right away that King Nebuchadnezzar was asking something of them that they could not do? It did. He absolutely did. And so Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego could not do it. King Nebuchadnezzar's law was that any time a harp or a lyre or a flute were to play, they were to bow down. So I'm going to pretend to play a flute, and you're going to bow down to my golden statue. Ready? Oh, some of you think we're playing like Simon Says, and you don't want to be sinful today. We're going to pretend that we are sinful today, and you may bow. Ready? It's not Simon Says. I agree. Okay. So everybody had no problem bowing down to their golden statue because they didn't what? Two reasons. They didn't love the Lord. They didn't know God. Or they didn't care. Right? So they had no problem with King Nebuchadnezzar's law. They're like, we get it, King Nebuchadnezzar. You're already in charge. You're already the boss. You want us to bow? We'll bow. You don't really want to, like, go toe-to-toe with this man, right? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego immediately knew that bowing to a golden statue was against God's law. Laws are not to be broken. A command is a command, not a suggestion. Well, then, of course, all of his magistrates and important people got word and got wind that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were not bowing. And King Nebuchadnezzar went to see them. And he said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you are to bow. I'm going to give you another chance. Does that sound kind of like a mom? Like, this is your second warning. You're going to bow. The harp and the flute play. Now you're Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did not bow. They knew full well that people were watching them and that they needed to make this decision or there was probably going to be consequences. King Nebuchadnezzar went to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and said, "What is your problem? I told you to bow to the statue. You are not obeying me. You are part of my kingdom and my rules." And they said, "We love God. We are to have no other gods before us. We cannot bow to your statue." I love in scriptures, you know what it literally says? King Nebuchadnezzar's face changed dramatically. Can you give me your meanest, sassiest face? Ooh, good one. Can you stand up and show everybody your mean, sassy face? Yeah, would you do that? Turn to the adults. Man. Yeah, she says, yeah, that was her meanest. Yeah, thank you. That's what King Nebuchadnezzar did. Oh, I love her. King Nebuchadnezzar's face changed. His whole disposition changed. And he basically said, "Bow down now, or I have to throw you into the fiery furnace." Here goes the flute again. I know. I'm such a mama voice. It's the tune that came to my head. Did they bow down?
No.
They didn't. And he said, "Make it even hotter. Throw in more wood. We are putting Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the furnace." And he is mad. He is mad because he did not win. And they said, "That is okay. Our God will protect us. And if we're wrong, then they know, as in his people, that you are the king of all things, and we should have bowed down." So he basically told the king, "Do what you got to do, but our God, my God will save us." So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were thrown into the fire furnace. Can you tie your arms? They were tied with brown rope. They had their biblical time robes on, and they were thrown into the fire, and the door was shut. One thing I really love is when they come to peek on him, they said, "Sir, how many men did you throw into this fire?" And the king says, "How many?" "Three." Okay, I can't untape this. Pretend I just untaped it, and I'm going to stick this angel right here. And the officials say, "Well, then there are four in the fire, and one is just kind of like walking around." So do you think the king was super curious about why there would be four in there all of a sudden?
Yeah.
So the angel, this was an angel he rescued from the garbage, isn't she pretty, was actually walking around in the fire with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And they were stunned and amazed and confused. Give me that face. Okay, he put three in there, and now they see how many? Four. And when they open the door of the fiery furnace, it says, right there in scripture, their robes were not on fire. There wasn't a hair singed on their head. And they didn't smell of smoke. And I love that detail, too, because we can use our five senses. What can you smell on yourself if you're at a campfire? So even right now, if I had a real campfire going, we would smell like smoke. My hair smells like we've been camping by a fire pit. So I can't stand it, so I have to go wash my hair. They came out and said not even a hair was singed on their head. Their robes did not have a fray on it, and they didn't even smell of smoke. What do you think the people who loved and believed in King Nebuchadnezzar, well, love is maybe a, you know, kind of a liberal term to use right now, how they felt about King Nebuchadnezzar and his laws, and then to witness this, what do you think they were thinking? Bo.
That God had saved them.
My favorite part is when this scripture ends, people turned to God. It was an amazing, faithful story. Today, I'm a faithful firefighter. I hear nothing but faithfulness in the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They were faithful, and God protected them. Look at these three verses that I picked for today. 1 Samuel 12:24 says, "But be sure to fear the Lord and serve him faithfully with all your heart." And I want to tell you a little bit about healthy fear. I don't think I understood healthy fear as a kiddo. Do you fear God? And that's kind of a hard thing. Because when I think of God, I do think of him as love and grace and forgiveness. He puts up with me every day. He has to put up with us all. That's a love, grace-filled God, right? And he constantly tells us we are to pour love and grace out to others. There's enough mean people in the world. Do we need to be them? No. Do we have to be critical? No. Do we have to tell it like it is? No. We don't need to be the mean, ugly people in the world. There's already enough of those people. When you love God, we are to show that love and grace to other people. But we are also to fear God. To fear God is to understand that the Ten Commandments is a command, not a suggestion. We know our Ten Commandments, right? We are to honor our mother and father. We are to have no other gods before us. We aren't to covet what other friends might have. We'll talk about that one in a minute. So hear the word fear, but be sure to fear the Lord and serve him faithfully with all your heart. I'll come back to that one. And here's two more verses I really loved about faithfulness. Proverbs 28:20, a faithful man will be richly blessed. Now, as a kid too, when we see richly, do we think in money terms sometimes? Yeah, but you know what? The older you get, the money's just going somewhere. It's not going in your pocket. Life's expensive. To be richly blessed means that I have a God that I can call on when I'm feeling sad or forgetted. Forgetted, sorry, that was a very bad English. Now I can't think of a better word. Forgotten. Thank you. If I feel forgotten or sad or stressed, I have a God who is richly blessing me through his scriptures and through his love and through his comfort. I believe that I can hear from God. If I sit still and I'm in prayer every day, God is leading and directing my heart. That makes me richly blessed. And here's the third one I really liked. Matthew 25:23. Well done, good and faithful servant. This verse is the one I want Jesus to say to me when I have crossed over into heaven. I want to hear God say, well done, my good and faithful servant. When my grandpa died, he was a faithful man. And as I got to say goodbye to him on his last breath, I said, well done, you were a good and faithful servant, and God is waiting for you. And I want that verse to be said at each of us when we cross over into heaven. That means we lived on earth the way that God has called us to do. These stories are real. They really happened in the Bible, and they really have something for us today. And that's to live a life of faithfulness. So if we think of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, we may never be told to bow to the golden cup, but are there things that you might want to bow down to? Bow down to peer pressure? Bow down to bullying? Bow down to being an unkind friend? I'm in the classrooms every week, and I know that you, and maybe our adults don't even realize it, but you are under pressure, and I get it. I teach pre-K, five-year-olds, and I've had to put more kiddos in some warnings for being unkind to a little girl who isn't catching up. Her speech is poor and you can't understand her. Her gross motor is delayed. And I don't even give them an ounce of being unkind to her without them having to apologize and have a consequence. And you know why? Because I want to teach them at age 4 and 5 that we are not to treat other people that way. Do you want to be treated that way? Someone make fun of you? No. To be faithful to God is to love his people. And to think that we are any better puts us in a really haughty position. I do not think that I've got it all together, that I can now go make fun of my neighbor friend. So are there times where you have to be faithful because you've taken Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Yes, be the one that doesn't chime in. Be the one who sits quietly and listens to your teacher the first time. What would it be like to honor our mothers and fathers the first time? How many times does it sometimes take? Oh, I see a face of like, I don't know. I don't know if I can do that. I know, this is the challenge today. It's not a suggestion, it's a command. They were not to bow down to a golden statue, and they didn't. They had to be faithful 3 young men because they loved God. Do you think you're called to being faithful today? I do. Do you want Jesus to say, well done, my good and faithful servant? Absolutely. A life of faithfulness is sometimes making an unpopular decision at a moment's notice. And who can help you make that decision? Jesus can. It's called the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is probably the toughest concept to grab when we're kids. And I bet even as grown-ups, we struggle with the Holy Spirit. Do we? Are we really supposed to do this? My stomach kind of runs on a Holy Spirit kind of monitor. I carry my stress in my stomach. If I feel butterflies and I feel nervous, then I know that the Spirit is prompting me to do something. Even as grown-ups, we have these same stresses. Don't let them ever fool you. There's gossip in our workplace, and I don't want to be a part of it, so I've asked God to give me an out, and God has given me outs. One time physically, a gal was coming in to complain. She came through the back doors, and like I said, come into my classroom, let's complain about somebody. She started her sentence, and something interrupted the two of us, and she had to walk away. And I know that God gave me an out. I did not have to listen to the complaint, because even listening made me a part of that story, and I didn't want to be a part of it.
because I had asked God to protect me from gossip in my workplace. I don't want anyone to talk poorly about me, so I'm not going to talk poorly about others. Otherwise, it's not fair, right? I can't be acting one way and then expect to be protected another. God has given me an out. If you are struggling because maybe your friends are the ones who aren't making the best decisions in your classroom, and they're full of chit-chat or kind of bumming out the moment in your classroom, your teacher wants to do something fun, but you just can't settle your spirits down, then you can be the one who models being quiet and listening the first time. You're going to have opportunities where someone's going to kind of lure you into something fun to do, and if you ask the Holy Spirit to prompt you and protect you, and as grown-ups, we have to pray a hedge of protection around our kids until they know better. I literally physically pray, and I move my hand around my kiddos, a hedge of protection around them so that they can make faithful choices in their life. I pray that for you. I pray that when we hear the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, we see fire and we see a miracle. And who gave us that miracle? Who gave them the out? God did. I don't think you're going to ever go into the lion's den. If you go to the zoo, here's how you'll never be in with a lion. You don't climb the fence, okay? And then an angel doesn't have to come and shut the lion's mouth, right? And unless you're going to the African savannah to do some sort of exploring, I don't believe that we're going to be in the lion's den. But do I believe that Daniel stood for something and God gave him an out? Absolutely. Do I believe that we have kings and things that we are trying to put our livestock into, but we are called to be something different? Absolutely. And will God give us an out? Will an angel walk amongst us? Will he prompt us to do something different? The first thing, boys and girls, is to take Jesus as your Lord and Savior. The second is to know those 10 commandments, and it's not a suggestion, it's a command, is to do our very best. If we sin, what do we have to do? We ask for forgiveness from God, and we apologize to the person here on earth who we've offended. That shows great maturity, to apologize to your sibling for picking on them, to apologize to your parent for being mouthy, whatever it might be. And then three, we are to look different in this world. When we leave these walls, we are to look different. If we don't, then who are we serving? The world or God? We are to be faithful. And to be faithful is to make unpopular decisions at times and to let God prompt you to make the right ones. And he will protect you in the process. My prayer for you is that you will be faithful. Be as faithful as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. May you never, ever, ever be in a fire. May you not have any dreams about being in the fire after today. But may you hear the story as something that is very real and something that is working in your life today. And I want to pray that for you. Pray with me. Lord, we thank you for the book of Daniel. We thank you for all of the stand examples that you've given us. I pray that we see faithfulness in Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and through that faithfulness, we are called to something different. We want to be a light in a dark world. We want to make decisions, Lord, that you've prompted us to and that the world has not put those standards on us. I pray that you put a hedge of protection around these kids from evil. I pray that their parents would be prompted to pray over them and to pray for that same protection in them, Lord. And if they need guidance and if they need words and if they need wisdom, that we are here to fill their cup, that we would model for them as grown-ups what it means to be faithful, what it means to make unpopular decisions in a moment, and that if they have these opportunities, your Holy Spirit would speak to them and they would hear from you. Lord, we love you. And all my kiddos say, we love you, Jesus. Amen. Now, just to really make sure you understand my theme of fire, I'm going to give you a red hot. What are these called?
Red hot.
Hot tamale. You may have a hot tamale so your mouth can feel a little bit fiery today. And a Snicker crisper, because I want you to be as crispy as the fire. I'm going to meet you over in this corner while they get going on the next part. Thank you.